Blog Talk Radio.
Bridge over troubled waters.
song written by Simon and Garfunkel. They were an American folk duo, and they released the song in 1970 on their fifth album, also titled Bridge Over Troubled Water. It was composed by Paul and produced by Simon and Garfunkel and Ron Haley. The vocals are featuring Art Garfunkel and a piano accompaniment with a gospel music feel. It was the last song recorded for the album, but the first completed. The instrumentation provided by the Wrecking Crew, which we have heard because Hatter shares a lot of information about the Wrecking Crew, and he's been able to do more than one show, and I'm sure he'll do another one. They are fascinating. But Simon and Garfunkel did the beautiful singing in the song that we just listened to, and it's been covered by people such as Johnny Cash, Aretha Franklin, and as I see that Stephen shared on the board, Elvis Presley. It is ranked number 66 on the Rolling Stones 500 Greatest Songs of All Time. That is Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon and Garfunkel. Welcome to the show, everyone. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We're a poetry group that hangs out at allpoetry.com. It's free to join. If you do, you can look us up on the group tab and come hang out. If you're already there, same deal. Hit the group tab and I'll meet you at the door. We post the links on the board so that people can log or click on them and follow along. We allow callers to comment as well as participate, and you can do that by calling 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And a Team of Voices Radio is presented by myself and Jay Hatter and Sweet Pea and Mr. A.P. Taylor, the board members. And we do shows most nights of the week and look forward to possibly spending some time with you. In the meantime, I think I better open some lines because we got a list, a line going. I will start with the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life, the owner Kay and her hubby, Stephen. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello.
So glad you're here. And, excuse me, right behind them is Liquid Damage. Linda, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb.
Good to hear you. And right
you
behind
know what?
Linda. What?
That song was mine and my best friend's song. And when she moved back east, I was like 13, and I would steal a glass of my mom's wine and slug it down and then put that song on and cry my eyeballs out. Yeah.
Aww.
So that song brings back many memories.
Yeah, but nothing like them drunken blues. Sometimes you just can't stop crying. Oh, my, my.
Right. Right.
And right behind Linda is Mr. David. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hey, Deb. Thanks. I'm glad I'm too.
And then we have Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne, welcome
Howdy.
To the show.
Howdy,
glad
folks.
You're here.
You're good.
Hey,
Wayne.
Hey, and right
Dave.
Behind...
Dave.
Oh, go ahead. Right behind Wayne is area code 419. Hello, caller.
Hey, that's Adam.
Hey, Adam.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Adam.
Glad you're here.
Thank you.
All right, all right.
Glad you're
here. So let's get going here. As we normally do whenever possible, we kick off the show with the leader of A Poetic Slice, Ms. Kay, and I'm going to grab her poem right now and take it to the board. And, Kay, as soon as you see your link, please take us away.
Okay. I call this Quietudes Within Migration of Time. And the sevens of warns, how does a sprig of juneberries blush, and cracklings to welts of disintegrated nature, of fine maples, lilt and repose, to muted hues mirrored in the water, kissing the beige of land, dirt to earth and its trust of floating, to burial succession, the bridge not treated in whitewashing, the shrilling and ripples of time-worn planks, terracotta ceramics broken, glittering golden rods of vermilion to russets, branches barren in nakedness, gnarls of yesterdays, holding gracefully, bouquets of summertides eclipsed into the shadows of time, washing through in cumulus minutes of frond and groundlands hibernation, a pallid silence of weep, fuchsias and marigold threads, till the next song of fauna's return and seedlings. End poem.
Oh, some really, really gorgeous images through there with the colors of the leaves towards the littering golden rods of vermilion to russets, branches barren in nakedness, gnarls of yesterdays holding gracefully. I love that, the gnarls of yesterdays holding gracefully. Back up a bit, wait a minute. To muted hues mirrored in the water, kissing the beige of land, dirt to earth in its trust of floating, to burial succession. It's like, whoa. And then it sends me back to the title, Quietudes, Misting Migration of Time. I really like this. And terracotta ceramics are broken. I forgot to include that in the part with the goldenrods. I mean, it's just brilliant wording. And the ending, washing through the cumulus minutes of fronding groundlings, hibernation. And then the last line, till the next song of fauna's return and seedlings, like to complete the circle and to do it all over again. I thought that this was boldly image-filled. And I can't remember the last time I heard or read a poem that had juneberries blush. Juneberries themselves. That's really, really cool. I know I say this often, but you really are the queen of metaphors. This is a beautiful piece and amazing colors. Let me get you some comments. Let me go to Linda, please.
Yeah, Kay, that was like beautiful abstract art versus lovely concrete thinking, very well blended together to form a wonderful anecdote-like piece of art. Very well written, Kay, with oodles of lovely imagery that pops off the page. I really love this one. It was very well written. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Adam, what do you think?
Yes, this is so impressive. I was like taken back by it. I've never seen some of these word choices are just phenomenally just unique. Like you pointed out so many of them, and oh man, Kay just always impressing me. Every piece I read, it's like a master class. It really is, like such an eye for detail, and it just paints, you know, the picture you see just. And this is what poets are supposed to do. It's like the perfect. Like, that's such a beautiful picture, but I feel like these words are far more beautiful. It takes me to like the idea of deep reflection that can happen sometimes. Like nature almost has that effect. It does on me at least. So I get that feel from it. Like almost, you know, taking there, but with the person and their reflection and the acceptance. And though, you know, yesterday's can seems sometimes like a fleeting thing, that it does, you know, there's renewal all the time. Just kind of like you said, I totally got that from us. It's beautiful, Kay.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Wayne?
I said this is a great poem with a wonderful phrasing.
I love the way it started when he said, in the sevens of orange, out of the sprig of Juneberry's blush and cracking into whips of the disintegrated nature. That is a great, man. I wish I could read like you, O. You read a lot better than I do. And I feel like kissing the beige of land. Great reading, and it's a lovely poem, and good to do the job, Eric, okay? Enjoyed it.
Thanks, Wayne.
Awesome comment. David?
Well, this one is beautiful. I didn't get a chance to concentrate too much on Kay's read because my computer had a big power bump right in the middle of it. Wouldn't you know, just my luck. But I just was scanning through it, and I'm reading it. I'm about three-quarters way through it. But this is so colorful, and the way she describes the colors is so, has so much grace in it, and the metaphors are like this terracotta ceramics, broken lettering, golden rods of vermilion to russet. It's really powerful in its descriptions and its ability to take the reader right into the picture there. We were talking the other night, and I think I said that we've been friends about 4 years, and man, the steps that you've made in your writing over that period of time, it's just mind-boggling. I think this is really well done.
Thanks, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, will you comment for your wife, please?
Yeah, this is a wonderful piece, and I think it's a mix of your speciality, your mixing of emotions with nature, and it reads to me kind of like a journey through a whole year where you're going through the seasons, I think, especially with the fall season, obviously, with the picture, but yeah. I see words that kind of speak of different seasons, especially like spring as well, when you talk about the next song of fauna's return and seedlings. But I did tell you in my comment that first line, when you use the word Warren, I automatically go to Richard Evans' book, Watership Down. I can't help it. I hear you say that word, and I think of that book and that story. So it kind of tilts me towards that direction as well. I thought this was a great write.
Thank you. I got your mother's house to thank for that one.
Yeah.
When we were house sitting. Mm-hmm. Last month for that's where that burst from.
Coolness. Best place to pull and stimulation for your muse is the surroundings. Awesome comments, everyone. And Stephen, do you want to push shows before or after you read yours?
We can do it before. I think Kay would plug the next show better than I would, though.
Oh, well, yeah. I will go on to say the Poetic England's Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's the write-in challenge that I did back in May. Anybody who gave permission to have their write read that took part of the write-in challenge, we're going to be getting all those folks read Wednesday night.
There you go. And then Friday is something different with a request at 8 p.m. Eastern, and that will be our 4th of July show. Bring a poem about the 4th of July, the summer, picnics, any kind of summer type thing. Those are all acceptable for Friday's show. And I'll plug for Sky because she's on the board. She's listening. I know she's out there. It's R. That's right. It's the Han Solo show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Star Wars, another Star Wars show for Sky on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern. And we're focusing on the movie Han Solo, A Star Wars Story. Or sorry, Solo, A Star Wars Story. Yes, my favorite character, so I'm looking forward to that show.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds cool.
All right, and I just want to say real quick before I read this poem that I actually wrote this to Elvis Presley's version of the song because I think that his version is packed with so much power and emotion that I'll even admit right here on the air that it sometimes will move me to tears if I'm in the right mood when I'm listening to it. And I don't need the glass of wine either. It just gets me there. And I wanted to read what I saw in my notes that Paul Simon was quoted after witnessing Presley perform this song. How the hell can I compete with that? And also, that's it. We might as well give up now. So even the writer of the song thought that Presley blew it away. So this is called Sailing Right Behind.
I'll bet you that comment blew Elvis away.
Yeah.
I don't see it on the board. Yeah.
Might have to refresh.
Oh, no, there it is. Sorry.
Okay. So this is called Sailing Right Behind. Chasmal voice of river sluice finds octaves between the shores. Gemstone-studded framing land of barometric musical score. Tightly clenching to wired ground, tottering chords expand and shrink. Droplets spray from blue-reeded hair, closest parched to drink. Burst of baritone wall of song that brings to bended knees. Hand that points up to blue skies, hearing millions pleas. As patulous palm does fall to fist, and grown men bow to weep. Electricity felt in neon air, now refrain begins to seep. Drums do roll and trumpets blare, cantor chorus pitch on high. Royalty putting duo in place, puzzles, should they even try. End poem.
Oh, I like how you put that in the end there. Royalty putting duo in place, puzzle should they even try. I like that you included that in with the trivia. It's always fun when somebody has something like that to share, because I had never heard that. And in all honesty, I can't blame them, because Elvis could probably reduce anyone to tears. But the poem is awesome. Tightly clenching the wired ground, tottering chords expand and shrink, droplets spray from black reeded hair, closet parched to drink. Now, what gets me there is that the play on words, yes, it definitely describes the scene, but it also can put Elvis in my mind, you know, with the dark hair and clenching the wired ground like he was holding his microphone tight. So I think because you put Elvis in my head, it's there. And a burst of baritone wall of song. I love that. I mean, that pounding noise, the beautiful rush of the water put as a burst of baritone, it is quite brilliant. And electricity fell in neon air, now refrain begins to seep. So I like how all the sounds are part of the song of that water, that troubled water that we see in the photo. I think that you did an excellent job with this. I really, really like the correlation between the two. Fantastic share. Let me go to David first this time.
Oops, I was on mute. I'm sorry. I apologize. I think you outdid yourself on this one, Stephen. This is really, really cool. I love the way it reads. You know, it's. I don't know which part of it I like the best. I like all of it, but I think it's impossible to sort out any one stanza. Although this one here says, as patulous palm does fall to fist, and grown men bow to weep, electricity felt in neon air now refrains begins to sleep. That's pretty powerful stanza right there. Your rhyme and meter is perfect. It's just absolutely perfect on this. It's an interesting storyline too. It really is. And, you know, you really do that picture justice. It contains a lot of energy, you know, in the storyline, and all you have to do is look at the water and you can tell how much energy is in that. So I'm going to say I think this is one of the best ones I've heard you read. So, well done.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Well,
awesome comment. And Wayne?
Yes, I said, yeah, this is wonderful. I like the complex phrasing that you used, and you made them rhyme perfectly. I like all the lines, but this one sticks out to me pretty good. The drums do roll and trumpets blare. Can the chorus pitch on high? I think everybody does a good down there. He's good. And this point sets a good mood. The way you're so smooth, it sets a good mood. And you did a good job, Elvis. I mean, Stephen. I enjoyed it.
awesome comment. And Linda, please.
Yes, Stephen. Nicely rich tones brings a musical ballet of river dance to life. Nicely written, Stephen, with awesome imagery, excellent poetic language, and excellent rhyme. This piece popped as well. Great job. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Linda.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
Comment. And before I get the next comment, let's say hi to my sweet. Sweet. Hey, doll.
Hello.
Sweet.
So
hello,
glad
sweet.
You're here.
Thank you.
And I'm going to do it a little different because the next reader is Adam, so I'm going to hold off on him for a moment, and I'm going to see if Kay would like to comment for Stephen.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I like how I like how this reads because it is, I know you like the song done by Elvis, but I like how you speak to the song itself because, as I said, I like how you drew on this from the past show that we did, and you have to admit that Elvis did it better, as he was the man.
He was the man.
Cool comment. Okay, and Adam, if you would comment for Stephen and then read us your poem from the board, that would be great.
Most of what I was thinking, what I was going to say got kind of said, but I love the stanza that Dave pointed out, especially there's like a point there where we're like that power of awe is coming in, and I totally like you, Dev, like totally saw Elvis, I totally saw like the image in my mind. And I love the subtleties of, like, you see the picture, and then we're getting the comparisons of that, but then quickly brought into the song, like, the performance aspect and the power and what it's generating and what it does. It's pretty awesome. The rhythm and meter and rhyme, everything is, like, just great. I love it. Good job, Steve.
Thank you, man.
Awesome.
And I've never heard the Elvis version. I gotta check that out now. I love the
yeah,
Garfunk one version. I gotta hear this Elvis version. I got to now.
Stephen posted it on the chat wall, so just scroll back after the show and you'll find it there. Just saying, make it easy for you. And Adam, yours is on the board.
All right, thank you. This is Shambhala. Himalayan heights, bound by magic, snowy cap, misty glaciers rain, pinnacle reach of earthly peaks, Everest shadows the world beneath, pierces the sky we toiled and rise, veiled paths of hidden paths row, sail these vessels beyond the threaded needle's eye, candle upon the Tibetan plateau glow, gilded blue stream of unmelting gold flame, cradled beyond Nirvana's bridge, entertaining beyond grassy Elysium field of reeds, edge of forever and utopian ridge. Nestled within the astral temple, attain enlightened nourishment, Shangri-La awaits in healed vibration, peal of the cosmic bell. Carry the sun and moon along, on the soles of heart's foothold tether, washed clean of sin and woe together, filled by the song of paradise poured, drinking of eternity's starry font. Gathered by stairways wind, hot springs of heaven's shore align. The manna tide washes the journey pure. Arise new life, breathing without breath. Caught in the net of timelessness. Eon stretches, pupil dilations. Ambrosia swirling in ecstasy's iris. Aurora borealis weaving pristine. Pulls over the chalice serene. End poem.
Wow, Adam, talk about amazing images and metaphors. Right from the beginning, it's gorgeous. Himalayan's height bound by magic. Snowy capped misty glaciers rain. Just the imagery right there, I mean, it does look like a frozen tundra there. So the glacier's rain is perfect. Veiled paths of hidden paths row, sail these vessels beyond the threaded needle's eye. Really cool. The edge of forever in Utopia Ridge nestled within the astral temple. I love the thought of the astral temple. And there, in Shangri-La, I mean, just all the different images of paradise and Shangri-La and Utopia that you put through here. On the soles of hearts, foothold, tether, washed clean of sin and woe together, filled by the song of paradise poured. I love that sentence. It's one of those sentences I wish I wrote, filled by the song of paradise poured. Really, really love that line. Ambrosia swirling in ecstasy's iris. This is absolutely brilliant. I dare say that I don't want any of my friends to write like each other. So I think earlier you said you wish you could write. I think you can write pretty damn good. This is an awesome share. Let me get
you
some comments. Let me start with Kay, please.
I like the lines. Shangri-La awaits in healed vibration. Hot springs of heaven's shore align, caught in a net of timelessness. Those are great lines. It builds in its own space of mind to land. Peace, serenity, and its submission. There's great word choices. It builds on its pinnacles of heights and wounds. And confidence.
Awesome comment, Kate. Thank you. And Stephen?
All right, forgive me, but I have to do this. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Right? I'm on the road to Shangri-La. I love this a lot. I told you in my comment, this brings so much to my mind, from Simon Garfunkel to Three Dog Night and even to Nirvana, because you just mentioned them. I think this is a rock and roll poem that seems to be more about finding inner peace than the music that inspired it. Awesome imagery and wording. Excellent job, Evan.
Thank you so much.
Awesome comment.
Awesome.
Thank you both. And in case you got to go, love and respect. I'll talk to you guys Wednesday, if not before. And how about I get a coat? Get a coat from Sweet.
Well, I will tell you that in my world, the list I made for Adam is called the Adam Bomb, because he always blows me away, just totally out of the water. For lines such as, wash clean of sin and woe together, filled by the song of paradise poured, drinking of the eternity's starry front. There's something about his language, the way he brings words together, the way he just kind of sways things, caught in the net of timelessness. Yeah, that's usually how I feel when I'm reading his stuff or when he's reading to me, which I prefer so much more, to hear that eloquent voice of his just kind of gather his words and just read. It's just beautiful. So once again, thank you for bringing such Shangri-La to me through your voice and through your words.
Oh, thank you. You flatter me so.
What a great comment. And before I get the next comment, let's say hello to AP. Hey,
hi,
AP.
AP.
Hi,
oh. Glad you're here.
You.
And in case you're on your lunch break, I'm just getting comments for Adam, and then you could put yours on the board. And I'd like to get a comment from Linda, please.
Yes. Adam, this piece was so very healing in the way that it sent vibrations to my brain as you read it. Do you know how healing glaciers are? My home is 20 miles across the bay from two huge glaciers, and when I got here, I could barely stand or walk, and even after my injury and a year in a wheelchair, I'm up walking and standing for 15, 20 minutes at a time. And I sit and look at the glaciers every morning while I have my coffee. And the vibrations that come off of it are amazing. So you hit the nail on the head in this one. I thought it was an impeccable imagery. And you did an awesome job here. Glaciers are just so, so healing. Thank you for bringing this up, Adam.
Thanks, Linda. Appreciate that.
Awesome comment.
You're welcome.
And David?
Oh, this was really, really outstanding. I love the pairing of words here. My two favorite lines in this entire poem are, and there's, I love all of them, but this did stand out to me. Entering beyond grassy Elysium fields of reeds, edge of forever in utopian ridge. That really, really sets out a scene for you. Just those two lines right there. It does to me anyway. You know, and then it says attained enlightened nourishment nestled within the astral temple. That I can imagine that whole scene together, everything put together in those four lines. And it just amazes me how you wrote this. And it's an addition to the artwork on the banner picture here, as far as I'm concerned. This was just really outstanding. I'm going to have to read more of your stuff, man. Well done.
Thank you so much, Dave.
You're
awesome
welcome.
Comment, David. And Wayne, would you like to comment?
Yes, I would. I said this is wonderful. It seems like there's so much detail in this. You had to do some kind of research to come up with all the phrasing you came up with, the words you came up with there, or you're just a genius one. But I enjoyed the lines that said, hear the blue stream of unmelted gold flame, cradled beyond the violet bridge. That's very, very colorful and nice, nice phrase. You did a good job reading it, and the way you described everything, this poem is just so amazing. I think your poem is better than the picture is, to be honest with you. Thank you so much. It was a great job.
Oh, man. That made me grin ear to ear. Thank you. Uh-huh.
Awesome comment. Thank you, everyone. Great share, Adam. Appreciate it. AP, I don't think you were here to hear that. If I'm wrong, go ahead and comment.
No,
if you did not hear, please read.
Well, thanks. Yeah, no, Deb, have a quick look. It's a beautiful use of words, Adam. I really, really enjoyed how you actually made that piece flow with the waters, I think it was just the descriptions and a really interesting way that you put it together. I mean, utopian astral pearl, and even carrying the sun and moon along. It's just really beautiful.
Thank you, AP. I appreciate that. Awesome comments,
everyone. AP, yours is on the board. Sweet, I sent you a
Well, this was just a very small break in between meetings, Deb, so no word bank in this, but this is the Leaves Trail, and it's picture number 33, and it goes a little bit like this. Autumn meanders down a stone way toward amber among crimson beside, branches intersecting to colour way, as waters ruffle into a skimming glide. Stone-hewn off a near-exposed ridge is fashioned by hand and with chisel. Mortar joins those blocks to a bridge, the track leaping past waters drizzle. Stones wet moss by years shimmers, glistening over their arches and rows. A stream surging near rock glimmers, past deep drifts where a forest glows. In poem.
Well, that's awesome. In between meetings, autumn meanders down a stone way toward amber among crimson beside. Gorgeous image right from the get-go. I love the whole first stanza, but I'm going to try and save some lines for others. I like, stone hewn off near exposed ridges fashioned by hand and with a chisel. And if you think about the bridges, the older bridges like this, and the work that went into them, and the fact that they last so long compared to some of our newfangled ways, you realize how impressive they were back then. But back to the poem, I don't know why I just thought, glistening over their arches and rows, a stream surging near rock glimmers. Just each stanza has gorgeous aspects that you pulled from the photo and painted quite the scene. I think that this came out fantastic, and I appreciate that you squeezed it in between board meetings. Let me get you some comments. My sweet? Sweet, are you here?
Yes, I'm on mute because Amadeus is a loud mouth. But I was saying lovely, brilliant comments to you, AP. I love Autumn Meanders Down the Stoneway. I just love the way you speak. I love the way you describe things. It shimmers and glistenings and surging and deep drifts and glows and chisels and drizzles. I love your imagery and how it comes across. And since autumn's my favorite season, and you're in the middle of autumn, I believe, this just kind of brings everything to life for you and lets me kind of bathe in your autumn. So I thought it was beautiful.
Thanks, sweet. Thank you.
Awesome comment. How about you, Adam?
Oh, man. AP never ceases to amaze me. With the, you know, in a taxi, in a between board meetings, while jogging, whatever it may be, his ability is phenomenal, and his like time constraints or multitasking, whatever. Like that first line, like is gold, and the couplet, I guess it, you know, that just stands all together. But you know, that first line really drags you in, and the picture's so warm and. The writing is warm as well. You know, the picture has a real depth and warmth and pops in that warmth, and his writing carries that warmth. And I love how you spoke on the construction of the bridge. You added this idea that hands had to make it. Humans were involved. And that brought my mind to the idea of, well, the song. And then a friend is like a bridge over troubled waters. It's in its sturdiness. I kind of mentioned that in my comment to you. And it was a very light touch. I think, I don't know if it was on, like, that was meant by that, but it took me there in my mind that, you know, the sturdiness of man-made bridge like this and the sturdiness of that good friend, you know, that will be there when you need them. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
No, thank you. Adam, thank you.
Awesome comment, Adam. Linda?
Yeah, AP, I just love the way you write. What a quaint little brevity this was. I love the bright imagery here, and each line was a testament to the next. It flowed and it rhymed so well. You brought this bridge to life. Thank you for sharing it.
No, thank you, Linda. Thank you.
You're welcome,
awesome
AP.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, please. Wayne, I can tell you're trying to talk, Wayne, but it's breaking up so badly that I can't recognize any words.
The aliens have Wayne.
Do you hear me?
There you go.
Okay, here it goes. I said, this is amazing, and it's another poem you can read backwards or forwards. Backwards way even better. Both poems are wonderful, but to have a poem end with Autumn Meanders Down the Stoneway, It seems kind of dreamlike. Again, you wrote a masterpiece, great balance, good storyline, and I enjoyed the read. Thanks, my man. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you.
And let me get one for Dave from David while I load his poem.
Well, AP, you took me right down the path with you. It's like you and I were walking down this road. I love the opening stanza here. Autumn meanders down a stone way toward amber among crimson beside branches intersecting to color way as waters ruffle into a skimming glide. That's really, really some nice description there. You know, I have to agree with what everybody else said about the precision and the trouble that it takes to build a bridge like this. You know, these stone bridges are just ramparts of eternity, you know, and they just stand there and they're so beautiful, and they finally blend in with the rest of the background so well. And you captured all of that in this poem. It's really wonderful. I think you just did a really fine job with it.
No, thank you, Doug. Thank you.
Awesome comments, everyone. Thank you so much. And AP, enjoy your lunch. Yes. Thank you so much for squeezing us in. I know you're swamped out there. Talk soon.
Pleasure. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, everybody. Thanks very much. We'll talk soon.
Bye, AP.
Respect.
Bye, AP.
And Dave, if you see yours, can you take us away?
Yes. I did a lot of, soul searching on this particular picture. I really like the colors in it. And I listened to that Bridge Over Troubled Waters by Simon and Garfunkel. And it was such a powerful song, and I had forgotten all of that, and it actually put tears in my eyes while I was listening to it. So it sort of affected the way I wrote this. This is called The Bridge Over Introspection River, and it sounds like this. Humility, a lens into your soul. Life's lessons only apply if you view them through this lens. Amber coating reveals cinnamon's gentle caress upon the surface of the introspection river. Glassy surface revelations reflects the faces of your soul. Its embrace soft as eiderdown, yesterday's daffodil lit in sunshine called to the bridge today. Your gaze into past participles triggers kaleidoscope phase shifts in today's colors, redshifted by our errors of the past, lets you view your mistakes only if you let it. Humility is the key that unlocks your destiny, allows your soul to pass over the bridge over introspection river. Such a bridge as this one, granite blocks glimmer in crystalline nickel gray, cobalt glimpses of nirvana dissolving into aquamarine, revolving slideshow, this six-gun projector illuminates all those dead ends, all those one-way streets we've all been down, all those wounded hearts, all those we've hurt. The river curls around its ramparts, its swirling eddies of tiny endless vortex wink at you, its whirlpools thieves of your attention, whisper in ravens' gentle croakings. Such sights we can show you, David William, overwhelms me with a simplistic countenance, brings tears to my wandering eyes. Contemplation so long overdue, such feelings rising to my own surface show their pomegranate rings expanding exponentially upon the welling currents. I look into the depths of the introspection river. I see my dark mother smiling, her gentle sub-octave voice phasing in and out of yesterday and today's. Her face on the surface of such a gentle river saying to me, David, my man, cast thy pride into her depths. Surrender your mistakes under her. Your happiness is all that she asks, all that I ask. Quartz tears fell into her reflections. I wept over the edge of the bridge at introspection river, sending delicate silver ripples across the dark mother's dark energy lips. My caress unto my queen, taking them into her infinite heart. Pass over the bridge, David. You are worthy of no trespass to the other side. Please join me there. So I passed over. I died that day. To me, I was reborn. finally, for the wife in the poem.
Wow. Where do I start? My goodness. From the first line, I guess, humility, a lens into your soul, life's lesson, only apply if you view them. How true is that? What a strong opening. Mine, oh, mine. Gentle caress upon the surface of the introspection river. Glassy surface revelations reflects the face of your soul. Glassy surface revelations. Brilliant, Dave. There's a metaphor I wish I can't even talk tonight. I wish I wrote. It triggers kaleidoscope phase shifts in today's colors. Redshifted by our errors of the past. Lets you view your mistakes. I love the way you're taking the journey from that introspection. Wow. Humility is the key that unlocks your destiny and allows your soul to pass over. That's like a key. And then we go further, dissolving into Aquamarine's revolving slideshow. The six-gun projector illuminates all those dead ends. Such fabulous images in here, Dave. Contemplation so long overdue, such a feeling rising to my own surface show. Their pomegranate rings expanding exponentially. I mean, wow. Where's you know, I always smile or grin when you get to the conversations with the Dark Mother, like, David, my man. I'm like, okay. Cast the pride into her depths. Surrender your mistakes unto her. Your happiness is all that she asks, all that I ask. I mean, wow. And I know she's here. There she is. Okay. Across the Dark Mother's dark energy lips, my caress unto my queen, taking them into her infinite heart. Pass over the bridge, David. You are worthy of no trespass to the other side. Please join me there. I'm like, whoa. There was a lot of emotion here, but I kind of love that you got the message that, you know, you're worthy. It's okay. Go ahead. Pass over. I think that's really beautiful. What an approach.
Thank you, Deb.
Impressive, Dave. Let me get you some comments. Let me go to Linda.
Oh, my God. Wow. This was an amazing piece, David. Such brilliant language, and your imagery rocked. Your metaphors were solid, and the whole piece just rang out. I don't know where to begin. The beginning, humility, a lens into your soul, life's lessons only apply. That is brilliantly put, a lesson we should all know. And let me see. Triggers kaleidoscope phase shifts in today's colors. Red shifted by our errors of the past. Let you view your mistakes. What an awesome verse that is. Just really, really, really informative. And I can't figure out the word I'm looking for. But anyway, let's move on. Humility is the key that unlocks your destiny, allows your soul to pass over the bridge over introspection river. Another brilliant verse. And I, like Deb, don't want to take them all. Just this whole thing is has a plethora of excellent lines and great verses. And I'm glad you brought in the Dark Mother. I was missing her.
Me too.
That was a really cool addition to your poem. So, Dave, you did a really good job. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, thank you, Linda, very much.
You're very welcome.
Awesome comment. And Adam, please.
Yeah. I love this, David. I can see this, you know, we're coming here with you, and immediately we're caught in deep, like reflection of what you're going through. I love the wisdom that is carried on throughout this piece, and, you know, looking inside yourself, understanding those things. The stanza 3 and 4 are beautiful together. I love every bit of that, every bit of the 3 and 4. Like, they just, they're so unique. And I definitely love the, and then we get a little like, we get your, and then from that, there's like this change where we come into a more like hip, like, I don't know how to explain it. Not as deeply poetic, definitely as poetic, but we get a more like hip sort of vibe from you coming. It's like part of the transitioning that we're going through with you, you know, and I really love just the straightforward, all those one-way streets we've all been down, all those wounded hearts, all those we've hurt, like after everything else leading up to that, and that transition from the first 4 stanzas and into this part of it. And then we come like almost back to the poetic aspects again. It's very interesting and very cool, and I think it tells of your wisdom and your understanding. It was well done of the piece, and you told us how it kind of came about so inspired, and I could feel it throughout it. I could feel your emotion. You know, it was definitely it came through. Great piece.
Well, thank you very much, Adam. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Wayne?
Well, as I said, Dave, your poem is like the song, it's emotional. I remember when the song first came out, I had a hard time listening to it without tearing up. You did a great job with the emotion of this poem and a good read. That song was one of my 2 most emotional poems when I was a young teenager. The other was Feed the Tree, How Big It's Grown. I remember that song there. That was another emotional poem when I was a teenager. So that's a great job with this poem. You did a good job with emotion, and I liked it a whole lot. Good job, Dave.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Sweet, will you please comment for Dave and then read us your poem?
Well, I first off, I love that Dark Mother was in it, but I think it was a complicated look at our abilities to look beyond our own past and forgive ourselves, you know, for what we think was not up to par. And, you know, you become happy with the person we are. And then and I love that you died, like, within your dream and became that person with the Dark Mother, without judgment, but within pure bliss and joy. And I'm glad the Dark Mother was there, because it always helps teach us all this great lesson. And I love how you put that in there. You know, so, you know, you passed in and over, but with that screaming, with that, all of that, and, you know, no judgment, just bliss and joy. And I was really glad to see that. I thought that was perfect.
Well, thank you, Sweet.
Fabulous.
You're very welcome.
And yours is on the board.
All right. This is my bridge of serenity. I come here when the world leaves me alone, to hear the angry water crash over brutal stone. No path of pleasure to soothe its journey home. I sit and listen to the river sing in a voice that is cursed with screams, lyrics to whiskey drunk love song. Lulled by solitude's quiet haze, I drift off to childhood days of bonfire flames and the taste of burned marshmallows on lips never kissed. The smell of magnolias and lilacs smile in the sun, green grass laughter, sweet tea, sass memories, a future drowned in late night whiskey treachery. The wind whispers reminders of the past. Scars on which show no bravery. Shadows hidden in fears of maybes. Tight walking, yesterday's shame. Not up upon a pedestal of grace, pushed off in an act of rivalry. Retinas drip in ashes, eternal savagery. Veins draw ice into orifices and dead cavities. Head is clear, and the water still rages. I walk away, leaving my troubles, tossed over the bridge of my serenity. And poem.
Wow. I come here when the world leaves me alone to hear the angry water crash over brutal stones. No path of pleasure to soothe its journey home. Just that stanza, sweet. My goodness. I sit and listen to the river sing in a voice that is cursed. It screams lyrics to whiskey drunk love. There's so much emotion there. My goodness. The smell of magnolias and lilacs smiles in the sun. Green grass laughs. Sweet tea sass. Memories. A future drowned in late night whiskey treachery. Between the thought of the smells, that even sounded weird, but the thought of the smells, the image of the flowers, the image of the grass, the thought of the grass laughter. I mean, talk about some brilliant metaphors there. And I get, sometimes when you there's a specific castle that you choose when it's available and write about, and this emotion oozes from you at that castle. And this bridge and emotion that goes with it reminds me of your rights for that castle. Did that make any sense to you at all? Because it won't to anybody else.
Yeah, New Schweinstein Castle. Okay. Yeah, and there's a beautiful bridge that connects, that goes to that castle. And it that bridge reminds me of that. So it's very much connected to that particular bridge and that castle and very much there. That's why I picked the bridge.
Okay. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I know that my heart was ripping here as you were reading, and I kept picturing that castle and the emotions, like I said. So at least I know I'm not totally insane. Not upon a pedestal of grace, pushed off. Does that mean Hatter's here? It does.
I think so.
Let me answer that real quick.
I muted.
The aliens gave you back. Hey, Hatter.
Hey.
I'm going to finish my cover for my sweep. But yeah, like with words like treachery and rivalry and cursed, it screams. On lips never kissed. I mean, so many different pieces that were leading me to the emotion that was usually found. It's still found there because I could totally in my brain picture that bridge being at that location. So, yeah, I think that this is really incredible, sweet. And head is clear and the water still rages. But I walk away leaving my troubles tossed over the bridge of my serenity. And even though there was all kinds of powerful images and heartstring tugging emotions in there, it came full circle and you got to walk away tossing your troubles with the water that's beaten down there. So I really, really love this. Let me get you some comments.
Thank you, Dad.
Linda, please.
Yeah. Hang on. Allie's calling. Okay, sweet. That was absolutely amazing. Your imagery here was so almost I don't know, not eerie, but enchanting. Enchanting. And the water can be so healing. And I love this, where did it go? The Wind Whispers reminds me of the past scars on wrists. Show no bravery, shadows hidden in fears of maybe, tightrope walking yesterday's shame. Excellent verse. And I just, the whole thing about the water, in the beginning, I come here when the world leaves me alone. I hear the angry water crash over brutal stones. And I get that because I grew up in the forest with rivers and streams, and I was out there every day at 7 a.m. Chasing cows and falling in the creek and sitting there drying off and listening to the water and just laying on the banks of the creek, just soaking it all in. And that's what your poem reminded me of, the solitude of, I grew up alone out there. My brothers were there sometimes, but not very often. So I was mostly alone, and I just spent the days running in the forest. And the memories that this brought back was monumental. So you did your job well. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much, Linda. I appreciate your thoughts.
You're very welcome, sweet.
Awesome comment. And Dave, what you think? David?
Sorry about that. Me and my mute button. I'm not used to it. Anyhow, I like that first stanza very much. It was a great way to start this poem. I come here when the world leaves me alone. That's a really nice first line. We all need to find a place like that, you know, where we can go be by ourselves. I've got millions of them up here in the woods. To hear the angry water crash over brutal stones, no path of pleasure to soothe its journey home. Those two lines are complete that entire first stanza very well. I sit and listen to the river sing in a voice that is cursed. It screams lyrics to whiskey drunk love songs. That it shows this poem to me shows a lot of kind of like my poem, a lot of introspection and thinking about yourself and thinking about what's going on in your life in general. The wind whispers reminders of the past, scars on the wrist show no bravery, shadows hidden in fears of maiden, tightrope walking yesterday's shame. That's lots of power in this poem. It's sad, but it kind of also vacillates back and forth between normalcy and maybe some things that you wish you hadn't done. I don't know, but it's a beautiful poem. The last stanza, head is clear and the water still rages. I walk away, leaving my troubles tossed over the bridge of my serenity. That's a nice way to wind this poem up. I just thought this was really, really nice, really well.
Thank you, David, very much. I appreciate you.
You're welcome, sweetie.
Great comment, David. And Wayne, will you comment for Sweet before we play your sound?
Yes, I will. So this is wonderful. I need a place I get to go when the world leaves me alone. I have to set up a tent and stay for a while. It sounds like such a great place. This poem is a poem of contentment to me. It's relaxing, and it's where I like to go and maybe go with you and we can sit and relax and after a long trip and I'll wake me up somebody. This is great. You did a good job with this and great emotion. I love the poem a lot. Sorry for the comment.
Thank you, Wayne, very much.
Awesome comments, everyone. sweet. I know you have to go. I'm going to try to give you a call tomorrow afternoon, doll.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you can't go, sweet.
Okay,
sweet.
I'll wait.
Okay.
Do I have to wait for you
I
to
have
read,
something
Linda?
Special.
Okay.
Yeah, I brought
I'll
something
hang
special.
Read. Okay. I'll hang on to
okay.
you, read, Linda.
Great.
All right.
Thanks.
She's right after Wayne, so it'll just be a few more minutes.
Okay.
Let me push record. I mean, not record. Let me push play. And you guys click on.
This is called Silver Girl. See the red reflection in the calm current. Rain run off in rapid rules to follow, weren't. Perfect polished pebbles prayed on gravel bar. Female friend found not far from creek crushed car. Wept when wrinkled water our wife's body bagged. Empty eggshell motions of lover's lost life flag. Broken branches and barbed bushes, blemished bridge. People packed pews, providing place for privilege. Sailing right behind the troubled water, mind muddled, watching the wave that got her. Pain is all around when evening falls so hard. Tears in my eyes are rough, being weary and tired. Down and out, when darkness comes, I'll weep. Will lay me down, no dreams on way, can't sleep. I'm on her side, her time has come to shine. No friend found to ease this pain of mine. Feeling small, oh how I need a friend. I can only walk the streets, try to pretend. Stand on bridge as troubled waters swirl. Hang my head and whisper, sail on, silver girl. In.
My goodness. Wept when wrinkled waterlogged wife's body bagged. Empty eggshell emotions of lovers lost. Life lagged. Broken branches and barbed bushes, blemished bridge. People packed pews, providing a place for privilege. So sad. Was sailing right behind the troubled waters, mind muddled, watching waves that got her. Pain is all around when evening falls so hard, the tears in my eyes are rough, being weary and tired. When the emotion is so strong that I can only watch it, you used a few choice words from the lyrics, such as weary and troubled water, of course, but it just pushed the song, and it kept it in mind while you read, and then the beautiful instrumental of it in the background, quite the total package. But at the end there, feeling small, oh, how I need a friend. I can only walk this street and try to pretend. Stand on the bridge as troubled waters swirl. Hang my head and whisper, sail on, silver girl. And that ending there is sad and beautiful and tragic and heart and loving, all wrapped in one stanza. Man, I'm afraid to read the author's notes, because if you tell me there's any truth here, I think I'm going to start crying. And then if there's not, man, how powerful did you go with that? So either way, but really, really amazing. I understand why you said that it was going to be a really sad one, and it is. Like I said, the emotion is really, really powerful here. Fantastic share, Wayne.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you. Great comment.
Hatter, what do you think?
You know, at first I thought it was going to be everything you find down at the creek. You know, you got a creek-crushed car. But I had to stop and giggle with the wrinkled, waterlogged wife's body bag. That. But then you came around and you got serious with the lyrics that pertain to the song.
Up all the way through, just about.
Very good, Gwen, yeah.
Awesome comment. And sweet.
This is definitely a tearjerker. It was done so well. I don't know if it's based on a true story or not, if it's just based written on a song. But either way, it's powerful. It's insanely beautiful, hauntingly beautiful. I love Hang My Head and Whisper Sail on Silver Girl. When you have a vivid imagination and a talent for writing, you know, I can just imagine, you know, how deep you went into this story. And I can only walk the streets, try to pretend, stand on the bridge as troubled water swirl, hang my head and whisper, sail on, Silver Girl. This is just really, really well done. And if there was a gold medal to give away, I would give it to you tonight. It's just very, very well done.
It has a little emotional poem. It was pretty emotional.
Yeah.
Oh, cheer to my thank you, sweet.
Yeah.
Great comment, Doc.
You're welcome.
And David?
So this one is really, really powerful, and it is sad, you know, for sure. When I listened to the song and read the lyrics all over again, when I was getting ready to try to pick a picture prompt for the show tonight, one of the lines, I think it's the second or I think it's the third stanza or third verse in the song. It says, "Sail on, Silver Girl," and sail on by. God, it just that those words just are meant for each other. You know, they really, really got me, and I can see how they got to Wayne too. The whole, you know, lyrics of the entire song are really powerful, and they make you think about things. And you know, Wayne put all of that and all of those feelings into this poem here, and you know, it is sad. It really is sad, and you know, anybody that have experienced anything like this, I feel sorry for them, you know. God, this really affected me. I really thought you did a hell of a job on this, Wayne. It's just amazing. Good job.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Linda, will you please comment for Wayne and then read your poem for us?
Mm-hmm. Wayne, you cannot do alliteration any better than you. I swear to God, you are amazing at that stuff. And the emotion in this is devastating. How sad was this? With powerful lines and verses, your poetic language was awesome. this whole poem was so well written, and I just loved the whole thing. I want to thank you for sharing it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Linda.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Great comments, everyone. Thank you, Wayne. And Linda, yours is on the board.
Okay, let me refresh. Okay. In my eyes, this is probably one of the best poems I've written, in the top five anyway, and it's called Love Soup. In the midst of the forest, there was a large stream. On one side I lived, the other a dream. There were lilies and jasmine all smelling so sweet, and luscious raspberries, a good forest treat. Now over the stream where the daffodils grow is a cool little bridge where the water flows slow. Fuchsias and ferns grow all around while clovers and moss cover the ground. The beauty that grew was really so great, but under the bridge lived an ogre named Hate. Now Hate had decided the bridge was all his, and why we weren't welcome was none of our biz. So he had a sign that read, "All use, keep out," and if you come near, he would scream and he'd shout. He'd shout, "If I catch you, you'll wish you were dead, because I'll pull your eyes right out of your head." So Hate spent his days spewing his gripe, and some, I recall, believed in his hype. It seemed like the forest was growing quite dark because of that Hate, whose tongue got quite sharp. Then came the day when Hate got real sick. His temperature spiked and his tongue grew quite thick. He coughed all the while and his nose oozed out snot. He had a bad rash and he farted a lot. This made Hate sad and he started to cry. Then he got scared that soon he would die. Now this is the part where the story gets good, where I'll get my dream if I do what I should. So then my heart said, to cure Hate, give him love. So I sat and I prayed to my God up above. Please, dear Lord, won't you give me a sign if the duty to cure him is really all mine? And the Lord said to me, child, the duty is yours, and all who are near must open their doors. Let your heart lead and give Hate your love. Then singing rang out from the angels above. So I brought Hate love soup, which he slurped right on down, then gave him some aspirin he took with a frown. Why do you help me? I'm Hate. I am mean. I am the baddest ogre you've ever seen. Well, I have some love that I wanted to give to help you feel better so better you'll live. And with that, the ogre started to shout, but only the sound of love would come out. So from then on, Hate was taken with love, and so by now they both pray to their God up above. The moral, when Hate rules the bridge that leads to your dream, give love a try and conquer your stream. End poem.
You know, Linda, it was a good thing that I usually always mute as soon as I announced the next reader, because you had me cracking up, and I literally laughed out loud. I'm trying to find it. Where is it? You know what part I'm looking for. Here we go. I think I found it. Here it is. He coughed all the while, and his nose oozed out snot, and he had a brash rash, and he farted a lot. This made Hate sad, and he started to cry, and they got scared that soon he would die. I can't help it. I think it's hysterical that you scared Hate with farts and snot. Your rhyme is awesome. Your details, your rhythmic. I was going to say fairy tale, but I don't know about the snot and the farts. I haven't came across too many fairy tales with farts, but hey, they work. and I thought it was kind of clever to go from a farting ogre to thanking the Lord for you know, anything in the same poem as a fart. So it was totally unexpected. And child, it's your duty. Child, the duty is yours. And I had to do a double take because I wasn't sure if it was a duty or a duty, if you know what I mean. Like some people call that.
Oh, right.
When you thought you farted, but you duty. So I had to double check to see what you meant there. But no, this was really fun. And I love the moral, too. When hate rules the bridge that leads to your dream, give love a try and conquer your stream. I really think it's cool how you give us a moral at the end of these when you do them, and you did it quite brilliantly, I must admit. You're awesome.
Thank you, Deb. Thanks.
My sweet.
You know, I don't know if there's a lot of people that in this world that believe in fairies and angels. But I know I do. Because I believe Linda is one of them. She has to be a fairy or an angel or someone. Because I believe a poet can change the world with their words. And I believe this is a poem that can change the world. Because if we just give a little love suit to those with a little bit of hate, just maybe we could get by. And I think this is one hell of a poem, Karen.
Thank you.
I think this is something that should be front page in schools and everywhere. Every kid should read it. Every adult should read it.
Wow.
I think this is one of your best. I really do.
Thank you, sweet. Thank you so
much.
You're
very welcome. Very welcome.
Deb?
Oh, what happened to Deb?
Sorry about that. The other phone died, and I had to dial back in with this one.
Oh.
And in the meantime, I also want to say hi to Sky. Hey, Sky. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sky.
And
I've been listening to the whole show. And I got quiet on the board because I had to do a bunch of stuff. I just got home. I loved the ogre meat. That was real clever when you went that way. I thought that was just... can I comment? I'm sorry. It was just so clever. When you got to the ogre on the bridge of hate, I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And the moral and the messages and, you know, speaking of, you know, that act of kindness can really change, kill them with kindness, that saying. But the way that you put it, the rhymes, I thought it was just so, so very clever. And I thought it very funny, too, those little bits of lines. He just kind of threw this humor in there. But I think when you're telling a moral and a message, it's the humor, especially if you're gearing toward, well, any audience, really. But when people, like, laugh and learn, I feel like it connects more. It connects to one of our humanity, to our memory, and to the story. And I think you do it brilliantly. Really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, will you comment for Linda?
This poem has great rhythm and rhyme, and as all your poems do. It's absolutely amazing the way you write your poems. It's got a wonderful story to it, and nobody should cross over the bridge with hate under it. And love is the only thing that can conquer hate. And when you see hate, you need to stop and pray. But you got to keep your distance because them parts can get pretty rough. It's a great parable and has a great inspiration theme to it. Yeah,
like
I said, a whole lot. You did a great job with
this,
Linda. I love it.
Thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome.
Some comment. David?
Linda. this was funny. It really was. But it was a good moral to it, too. But I especially was tickled when you said in I don't know which one of these stanzas it is, but it says, so then my heart said to cure hate with give him love. So I sat and I prayed to my God up above. Please, dear Lord, won't you give me a sign if the duty to cure him is really all mine? And the Lord said to me, child, the duty is yours. It's like God didn't even want a part of this guy, you know. He just gave him to you. And then singing ran out from the angels above. That wasn't what I was going to say. And it says, and the Lord said to me, child, the duty is yours. And all who are near must open the door. Well, if he's farting, I guess you would have to open the door, you know.
That was cool.
It really was. Yeah, the rhyme and meter, and it was perfect as usual. Good moral, too. It's really a fun read, and I love to listen to you read it, and you did a spectacular job with this. Well done.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome, honey.
Comment, everyone. And, okay, now, I might have to change this up a little. Okay, I don't. All right, I have the last four poems, and I lifted them, but it got lost in the shuffle, so I will just start over. If you guys will please click on Marius's poem, I will push his recording. And then we will have Angels and Bills and Miss Sky, Sky, Sky. So, you can click on Marius and I will push play.
When life's waves of anger hit, when you're surrounded by mad mark, please be patient and don't quit. I'll be there for you, your rock. When you have no friends through storms, when you think that is your fate, I will hold you in my arms. I will help you navigate. When you want to cry and scream, if you reach the end of the rope, I will be your living dream. I'll be there, giving you hope. When the lightning strikes at once, and fear shudders you with rage, when the devils at night haunts, I will be your shield and faith. When the drought is too severe, and you dry in heat and pain, I'll be there, following you near. I will always be your rain. When your life seems like a ruin, and you think there is no love, trust me, I know what I'm doing. I'm watching over you from above. So go on, a few more steps. Life is good, and I'm your friend. Trusting, follow in my footsteps. Victorious, you reach the end.
Wow, that was really awesome. And everybody's so talented with their musical backgrounds and beautiful reading. My, oh, my. When life's waves of anger hit, when you're surrounded by mad mock, please be patient and don't quit. I'll be there for you, your rock. I love, love, love that the opening stanza is like a declaration. I'll be there. And then with stuff like, I'll help you navigate, or I will be your living dream, and I'll be there giving you hope. When the devil at night hunts, I will be your shield and faith. So many. I mean, it's like this epic declaration of friendship, of tenderness, of love. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. I'm watching over you from above. So go on. A few more steps. Life is good and I'm your friend. Trusting, following my footsteps. Victorious. You'll reach the end. I think this came out fantastic, but I can't deny that that opening stanza absolutely blows me away. Each little piece has another level of this declaration of friendship, of making sure that this person knows he's going to be there no matter what. And I think that that's quite beautiful. Loving, spiritual, all wrapped in one. What a fantastic share. Thank you, Marius. Let me get you some comments. Sky, do you want to go first?
Yes, I thought this was an excellent poem. I'm all debauculated. I thought this was an excellent piece, and I can't agree more with the music of the background, the sachets. And I always say, and it's so very true when doing those, it's very easy to miss the mark, the music. But I feel like the people that I hear submitted, they really got it down. I mean, it's like the perfect meld. And it's great, too. It's not too loud, not too overpowering. And the part that I really loved was, where was this? When the lightning strikes at once, and I see your shutters, and see your shutters you with wrath. When the devil and the Huns, I will be your shield. And of course, you read that so much better than I did. Sorry about that. I really loved that. Because I'm somebody who's going to be there. Someone who, even through, it's really easy to be there in the easy times. And when everything's cheery, it's very easy to be someone's friend. But when those times get tougher, when those lightning strikes, of course, and when those dark days come in, it's a lot harder to be there for people. If you have people in your life that are there for those times, I mean, you're a lucky person. So I love the commitment, the loyalty, and the giving in this piece. Like, I will do this for you. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. Really well done.
Comment? Hatter?
Oh, you have to pass me this time.
Okay. David, please. David, are you muted?
Yes, I am. To me, it was a real declaration of support and of love. And, you know, it's just, it matches the sentiment in the theme tonight, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. You know, I think that this is a timely subject too nowadays, I think. I like the last stanza. It wraps it up well. So go on a few more steps. Life is good. And I'm your friend, trusting, following my footsteps, victorious, you'll reach the end. We get so used to having things our way, and then when they don't go our way, we get really disappointed. But if you're alive and you're up and walking around and stuff, and you feel halfway decent, that means that life is good. And you know, I'm pleased that he reiterated that in this last stanza. You know, this took a lot of thought putting this together like this. And I always liked Marius's work anyway. He's really a fabulous poet and a good storyteller too. So this was well done.
Awesome comment. And Linda, please. Linda, are you muted?
Here I'm laughing at Dave because he was on hold. I totally forgot I was on hold. No, Marius is such a love. His work is always so tranquil and sweet and loving. And you know what I got out of this was probably something different. I kind of saw it as he's the guardian angel, because it says in the last verse, so go on a few more steps. Life is good and I'm your friend. Trust, follow in my footsteps, victorious, you'll reach the end. But also when your life seems like ruin and you think there is no love, trust me, I know what I'm doing. I'm watching you from above. But, and also the picture shows a girl that's kind of heading into the light. So I kind of took this as a spiritual poem of a guardian angel caring for his loved one in the ethereal world. But Marius always impresses me with his stuff. Marius, love you, guy. Thanks for sharing this lovely poem.
Fantastic comment. And we have three to go. If you guys would click on Angels, I'll read for her.
Deb, I have to go, but
okay.
Thank you for having me. And love you guys. Love and respect.
Thank you for showing up and hanging out. Appreciate it. Love and respect, all.
Okay, see you later.
All right. And okay, if you guys click on Angels, I will read. And it's called Love Can and Will Build Bridges by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard and troubles stain parchment with ebony ink, I will comfort you. I'll take your part. Let me show you what love means. When times get rough and friends just can't be found, when your world is cloaked in sadness, I would swim out to save you like gentle waves cresting in your sea of broken dreams. Love and only love can join the tribes of man. I'd gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet to color your world in shades of smiles. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down, take all the dismay and worry. Keep believing in the power of love we discover, anchored with strength, renewing hope for a new day. Love can build a bridge. End poem. You know, I like how it starts out, love can and will build bridges, and it goes full circle to the fact, no longer a maybe, it's love can build a bridge. But in the meantime, I like how there were little trickles of the lyrics in it. Again, to keep the song in our mind as we went on, I would swim out and save you like gentle waves cresting in your sea of broken dreams. My goodness, love and only love can join the tribes of man. Keep believing in the power of love we discover, anchored with strength, renewing hope for a new day. I mean, just absolutely beautiful. It's like she stated that love can build that bridge and will, and then proved it with the words that wrapped it up again at the end. I think that this is a beautiful piece. And always an honor to be her reader. And thank you so much, Angel. Wow. Skye, what do you think?
Did you happen to read the board, Deb?
I did not. Wait a minute.
You don't have to read it. I just said, don't you dare take that Shades of Smiles line. And you didn't, though.
Oh, no.
Well, I thought this was wonderful. And I know, I was like, she's going to start taking a line. She's going to take that. But I was just really kidding. You could have. I thought that was, I mean, I love that line. The piece was beautiful. Really well done. That line was the top highlight for me. I thought it was brilliant. There's just sometimes people say things and you're like, huh, I didn't think of it that. I never thought of it that way. And, you know, I read a lot. And I've been writing for, 23 years now, 24 years. And when I see something that I haven't quite, you know, seen before with all my reading or thought of, I really think it's quite brilliant when I'm like, oh, that's quite beautiful. So the color of your world in shades of smiles, the idea of having smiles in shades, taking those, that very abstract, unique image of color, really, but using it as a smile. I really, really love that beautiful line, beautiful meaning behind it altogether. It's not just different words put together, different concepts, but the meaning behind it really echoes loudly. It's very lyrical, even though it wasn't really rhyme, it still felt very, very lyrical, and it could have been because of the threading in. But like so many of the writes that I heard tonight, because I have been listening since you've been on, it really speaks of that. There's a lot of comfort, like, I'll be your comfort, I'll take your part, you know, let me show you what love means. All these words that are saying, you know, there are many troubles, there are many things that you go through in life. There's all this darkness. But I will walk with you over that bridge, and I will be there for you. And I think it's such a, like I said before, it's such a beautiful people that we have in our lives, whether, like last time, whether it be something spiritual or something tangible. Excellent. That's it.
Awesome. Comment. And Hatter, are you back?
Yes. Since Sky took my line, awesome. No,
it was a really great line.
It was.
The content is, yeah.
Let's face it, he's got the whole studio jealous of it. I mean, she can do.
Yeah, the way Angel writes, it's just beautiful. She did a good job, like you said, Deb, reflection of the song and keeping us close to the lyrics. Time gets rough. Yeah. I was totally blown away. But all the way down to the shades of smiles. This is just really well done.
Comment? And David? Are you muted?
Yeah, geez, me and this mute button, I should just leave the damn thing alone or put a piece of black tape over it so I can't see it. This poem is beautiful. It shows Angel's heart. Just about everything she writes shows us what it looks like inside. And this is no different. I gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet. You color your world in shades of smiles. Wow. I'd like a whole bunch of smiles thrown my way for sure. It's an uplifting poem. It talks about things that we've all experienced. You know, we've all had our really bad days and terrible days and good days and mediocre days, and this speaks to all of that, I think. It's a really well written poem. I liked it a lot.
Fantastic comment. Okay, I am going to add Bill's poem. Oh, I did. If you click on that, I will push play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Picturesque View from a Stone Bridge. All my troubles have floated down the stream as I stare from a lonely stone bridge in a daydream, feeling the summer breeze tickle a poet's imagination. For the first time, I really appreciate God's creation. The sun blazes like a yolk in the midday sky. The smell of cinnamon reminds me of apple pie. The soft buzzing of a lost bumblebee overhead lands upon the pages with which I have just read. The crunch of gravel as lovers gleefully cross over. The fragrance of rosemary and thyme with a hint of clover fills my nostrils with the bittersweet taste of summer love. With the goldenrod sun always shines from above. The chirping of crickets and the croaking of frogs or the otters sail on by like miniature logs, forming picturesque view to heighten the senses while pebbles skim the water, attacking the bank's trenches. Answered by a downpour of welcome, refreshing rain, washing away the problems of the world down the drain, fertilizing the emerald fields of Wordsworth's land, where many walk, but only the courageous stand, while mighty clouds form a canopy over the earth, and the pebbles finally mix with the ebony dirt. Still, I am here, observing the troubled waters sail on by, where the summer's day awaits its final lullaby. End poem.
Wow. I really love listening to Phil read. And if you refresh the poem, I added the photo that he wrote inspired by there as well. Picturesque view from a stone bridge. This is another example of giving a title and then proving it, if you know what I mean. Like he told us there was a picturesque view, and then he shared it with us. But not just the view, the sights and the scents. I could almost smell the cinnamon in the pie and the colors that he chose. And even the hum from the bumblebee that's buzzing by, the crickets. It was like a backyard insect symphony. And I like, where does it, answered by a downpour of welcome, refreshing rain, washing away the problems of the world down the drain. Wouldn't it be amazing if the rain really could just wash away all the problems for the day and start new? My, oh my, just that thought. And then in the closing stanza, I'm sorry, Sky, white matinee clouds from a canopy over the earth, and the pebbles finally mix with the ebony dirt. That there's just to a final lullaby. I mean, what a beautiful write. And it bears repeating. I love listening to him read. The pronunciation from his accent is really awesome. Beautiful share, Phil. Thank you very much. Sky?
She's afraid to call on. No, I'm calmer now. It's just, but I'm like, okay. This was, I'm such a big fan of Phil. I really am. He's just a wonderful poet. And when he uses language like the sun blazes like a yolk in midday sky, the smell of cinnamon reminds me of apple pie, soft buzzing, soft bumblebee overhead, lands upon the pages. In detail with first of all, he had me at books and reading and nature. I was very into that. And then the cinnamon also I thought was really, really wonderful. And he did it in a unique way with the yolk in the midday sky, kind of describing the sun, which I thought was very clever. And then he goes on with the crunches and the chirping and crickets, and then even with the downpour. And you know, some people say, oh, I hope it doesn't rain today, but I also think rain can be very refreshing. And Lord knows that it rains a lot in England, so He definitely, it does over there. So more power to him living through that. I thought this was gorgeous. Excellent piece.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Man, he's solid. Every time he writes something, it gets better and better. You're right. He's one that, listening to his accent and his voice, read his own stuff, it just accents his own poem tenfold. It's just spot on.
Totally agree. Great comment. And David?
Well, I love the description in the detail they put into it. I like the center two stanzas a lot. They stand out to me. The crunch of gravel as lovers gleefully cross over. The fragrance of rosemary and thyme with a hint of clover. Fill my nostrils with the bittersweet taste of summer love, or the goldenrod sun always shines from above. The chirping of crickets and the croaking of frogs while the otters sail on by like miniature logs. That's pretty cool, you know, watching them swim around like that, because they sort of do look like logs when they're swimming. Forming a picturesque view to heighten the senses while pebbles skim the water, attacking the bank's trenches. I like that part where he put in rosemary and thyme into this. You know, that's another kind of a trademark of Simon and Garfunkel, I think. And I thought that was clever that he stuck that in there to go along with the rest of this. Very, very three-dimensional poem, and I liked it very much. I always like Phil's stuff. He's always good. You can't go wrong listening to him. So, anyway, well done again, Phil.
Awesome comment. And I am putting the, or I think I just did. I think I hit it. Okay. I have your poem on the board, Sky. And I just wanted to tell you that Stephen and Kate pushed your show for you when they were here earlier. Scott,
yeah.
You were listening. Duh. Okay. So, tell us what you got.
Thank you. Yeah, so I usually do not give introductions to my pieces. I often do not explain my pieces because even if there is truth in them, a lot of times I tuck it in deep in metaphor. This is a very, I think, forward write. And because of that, I am going to just say a couple things. The intro is a nod to or taking into Book 3 of The Wizard of Oz, when they had lunch pails on the trees and paper leaves and L. Frank Baum. So there's a reference to that. And, you know, one of the biggest references down into the playgrounds, when you're playing as a kid, sometimes you don't realize when you're a kid how you're playing, and then you reflect upon it when you're older. And you see, you know, those stories of pretend, those make-believes, those stories of houses, of playing house with your friend. Or your siblings, how different they can be on how you grow up and how those truths are reflected in that. And so I think that there's a lot of things that you don't realize when you're younger, and then you kind of form them when you're older. So this piece, this is how it goes. So, Brewster Brown and Tater Tot Brown. And since there were no paper napkin leaves, branches sprouting and tin pail lunches, initialed L. Frank Baum, we learned to bake tater tot meals when oven dials rivaled the heights of brow. The girl down the street had punky Brewster Brown and unkempt hair, her potatoed mother wedged in a cracked tooth couch. Never bothered to flop, not with strings of clean linen or a mouth bar of truth, just a pack of cancer twigs, yellow walls, a chain of chuffing rings and burnt out butts, gleaming at soaking corners like poison fed to little girls instead of rats, were shelled and shelling hands, those lover patrons with pockets rocked and white soot, with sour breath snapped gums and crater cheeks. They didn't need keys. All the doors were unlocked. Rooms that held corner shelves of rainbow bright and My Little Pony pets. That their eyes always held darker terror. Secret morsels of arsenic swallowed by small bellies. Drops that red-rimmed eyes frowned. We were bridged, but always traveled. I'd find you perched and parched on box mattress, thirsty for those rays of warmth that bore in from curtainless window frames. Because, despite the lack of coin, fitted fabric, or total safety, it still held love. And a mother who washed fingerprints from glass, who spent her time closing fissures of unfairness, settled for two part-time daughters. There were years of faltered things that always led back to parking lot walks and swings, playground make-believe that unpacked those stolen tresses and girl-like grins, those crumbling earths we both walked in different but familiar ways. Then came the day to determine. I called you sister and tucked myself in the gap of mattress and wall, your bunk now beneath mine. Years were spent in that earth-set bond of family. It wasn't all at once. Those bored and in truth long after the separation of everything you once knew, I was still the only tether you reached for. You on one side, me on the other, bridged apart, holding those old tin wire cans. Till that day they stretched too tight, and I saw that glimmer in palm. Those Brewster Browns and tater top brows snipping away all we once lived. And home.
Wow. You know, so many of the parts in there, you could tell were pieces of you, like the mention of, wasn't there a light, right? Or so many. Let me go backwards here. The tater top. Yeah, okay.
I just want to, all those descriptions were of the other person.
Okay,
yeah.
Things that
up there,
would bring
up
that
there.
That you learned to bake tater tot meals when oven dials rivaled the height of brow. That word in there, like, you know, you learned to cook them really small, but... Man, so many pieces just got me. Specifically, I was going, I can't stand when that happens and you can't find, like, okay, the Rainbow Bright and the My Little Pony pets, like stuff from the childhood. But it was the, we were bridged but always traveled. I find you perched and parched on a boxed mattress. Because despite its lack of coin-fitted fabrics or total safety, it still held love. The mother who washed fingerprints from glass, who spent her time closing fissures of unfairness, settled for two part-time daughters. There were years of faltered foster smiles. That's gut-wrenching right there. Playgrounds make believes that unpack those stolen tresses and girl-like grins, those crumbling earths we both walked in different but familiar ways. There was a mix between the emotion and the nostalgia, the tug of the family tie versus the, I think you even used it, the stretch too tight, it's about to snap. One of those days it stretched too tight and I saw the glimmer in palm, those Brewster and tater tot brows, snipping away all we once lived. This really, really is so packed with emotion. Sour breath, gapped gums, and cratered cheeks. I mean, so many. I'm headed backwards and up now. A chain of chuffing rings and burnt out butts gleaming at soapbox screens while roaches dug for crumbs. I mean, the image there is really, really sad. The girl sat down. The girl down the street had Punky Brewster Browns and unkempt hair. Punky Brewster, there's a name I haven't heard for a while. There's so many pieces, Sky. And since there were no paper napkin leaves, branches sprouting tin pail lunches, initialed L. Frank Baum. So many. The Brewster brows and tater tot brows, but the repeat of it is pretty powerful. Tater tot brows. I don't know why I can't. That fascinates me for some reason. With pocket rocks and white soot, pocket rocks. You got to wonder if that's like a metaphor for being weighed down.
It's a metaphor for narcotics. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. And white soot. Okay. Now I get it. Secret morsels of arsenic swallowed by small bellies. So much. It's like I want to pull it apart and get you to bare your soul too much to ask some of the questions that are going through my mind right now.
I appreciate it. And I think that when you gravitate towards the part that repeats, you know, I think that that's you just having a very keen eye to emotion. You know, when you have a child who has a parent who is not, fulfilling those parental needs, not only fulfilling them, but inviting people into their homes that can be harmful to a child, but also on the fact that this very small child basically had to learn at a very young age to cook for themselves because their parent couldn't do it. And what can the child cook? It was tater tots, even when they were very young. Like, shouldn't even be touching a stove, but that's the only way they ate. So I think that your keen eye just grabbed a hold of that. And that's where it is.
Well, it's an amazing share. And I feel a little extra sad at the moment because I'm picturing,
I have to tell you though, Deb, I've never really written in this about the subject that allowing me the opportunity to do that and to the inspiration and to cathartic my thoughts. Thank you.
Well, I like hearing that it's cathartic, but it's like sometimes I get struck by things that I don't even know why, but they throw me for a loop, and it's a tribute to the power in your pen, not a criticism for making me feel this way. I think it's brilliant to be able to do so, and the thing is, even if you hadn't shared some of the things that you said earlier, I would still be struck by so many of the different pieces in here that, you know, my heart is going out to the little girls, to these sisters, to this entire situation. But I keep getting pulled back to the part about the foster, where their years of faltered foster smiles. That's just such a sad thought. But again, it's an absolutely amazing share. I could feel you here. Hatter, what do you think?
Okay, Sky, are you an observer narrating this, or is this more personal to where?
Yeah, this was a person. This was probably one of the most blatantly personal pieces I have on my page. Maybe not some of them. Some of them I do, but it is a personal piece.
Because you did, it was so well done. Deb pointed out
the thing is, and you know, I don't talk about it too much, especially not on air, but I grew up with my godmother who raised me for most of my life, and it was a foster care situation. But I also went right. back with my mom. But my mom also, there was this, you know, my it was a friend down the street. She often would be at my mom's house, because even though my mom really didn't have everything together, she was more together than the other girl's mom. So we were friends, and she was always around the house. And then, you know, she was in and out of her own home. And then when I got older, when my mom really got her stuff together, which was about, I was about seven when my mom really got her stuff together, and we got custody of her, actually. She became my foster sister permanently until, you know, there was like a few more things that happened later on. But, yeah, so it's a true story. Wow.
Because the visual of the two girls getting together, sleeping in the same bed type of thing, all of a sudden you called her sister. That's very well done. It's just a heart. But one of the things you did well on separating a parent's view to the child's view. Be excited walking across the parking lot to the swings. I think it was something about little girl smiles. Yeah, you did very well. It does speak of a personal right, and I admire that you wrote it down.
Thank you,
Scott.
Comment, Hatter, and David, the last comment goes to you.
Oh man. Well, I like when you introduced the little girl. Is that you, Sky? And it says the girl down the street had funky Brewster Browns. Are we introducing you there?
I'm speaking about a different person.
Oh.
Most of the piece
okay.
is in perspective
okay.
of the other person. Yeah.
All right. Well, I just want to make sure I had it right. You know, I like the introduction to that person. It had punky Brewster Browns. Are those shoes?
Eyes. Punky Brewster Brown eyes. You know, Brewster had those brown, beautiful brown eyes.
Okay.
And the punky Brewster is a personal nickname. That, you know,
okay.
was always used.
Okay. Okay. Her potatoed mother wedged in.
Referring,
okay.
do you know that old show? Deb nailed it. To that old Bucky Brewster show. Yeah.
Okay. No, I never watched it. Anyway, her potatoed mother wedged in a cracked tooth couch, never bothered to floss. Not with strings of clean linen or a mouth bar of truth, just a pack of yellowing walls and a chain of chuffing rings and burnout butts. I'm assuming that you were talking about cigarettes in an ashtray or something like that. Yeah, anyway, I really like the way you did this. We need to, you know, reflect on that every now and then. You know, today's kids don't get to go through this sort of stuff. They're not raised this way. You know, it's just a sign of the times. And it does me good to hear people, you know, back into these time periods, you know. I was born in 1947, so I'm back a ways further, I think. But there's parts of it that I can identify with very well, and it's nice to be to visit those places again. You know, I'm sorry for any trials and tribulations you went through as a child. No one should really have to do that, but you came out just fine, believe me.
Well,
and
everybody has their stuff. Yeah, thank you. Everybody has their stuff.
Yeah, everybody does. That's right, and that's what makes us who we are. You know, So anyway, I thought this was really, really a nice poem. I really liked the way you wrote it, and all of the metaphors that you used and the adjectives to describe the entire story was really good. So nice job.
Thanks, David.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment, David. Fabulous poem, Sky. Okay, so everybody blows me away with the poetry tonight. Such an amazing variety and so many powerful emotions and images throughout. Okay, so I put the link for my show for next week on the board, as it will be the 4th of July. It's a whole bunch of different red, white, and blue things to choose from, and no other instructions. No other prompt, just wherever the photo takes you is what I'm looking for. And on that note, I want to thank my incredible board members, Hatter and Sweet and AP. I appreciate all three of you. And I want to thank all the amazing people who make these shows special night after night, week after week. Stephen, McKay, and Sky, and Wayne, and Marius, and Angel, and Phil, and Linda, and Adam, and David. None of us can do any of these shows without all of you, and the fact that you show up for us week after week is mind-blowing and appreciated more than any of you know. From the bottom of my heart, I send out love and respect to all of you. I appreciate you. And Hatter has a poem for us. Got a link? Okay.
I thought you'd never ask.
Before Hatter reads, I just want to say also we appreciate you, Deb. Thanks. All right. You can read now.
Thank you, Deb. Okay, I got to tell you that I wrote this three times. This is the one that took. The bridge of yellow stones. The dream of broken-hearted souls led me to this bridge of gold. I cannot cross without a clue. Tell me why I'm loving you. Stuck in time beyond the dreams, I hear the voices turn to screams. Upon the bridge that I cannot cross, memories of what was lost. I watch the troubled waters rain, watch the rivers hurl with pain. Stand the bridge of yellow stones. Remember me, you're not alone.
Hatter, I really love this. Aside from your trademark rhyme and flow, it stuck in time between the dreams. I heard the voices turn to screams. That's it's kind of scary to think of the voices turning to screams. I watch the troubled waters rain and watch the rivers fill with pain. It's like really potent. The first line, though, the dream of broken-hearted souls, just that one line, the thought of the broken-hearted is a powerful image right there. So it hits hard. And I know that there's only a couple lines left that I'm not going to quote anymore because I want to leave some. But between the emotion and the Hatter rhyme and the flow and the it's a hard hitting brevity. Great share, Hatter.
Thank you.
Sorry,
I had to finish a few stuff.
Well, I didn't mean to exclude you. I checked and you hadn't put one in,
I figured I'd be the
And I thought if you had one, you would have told me sooner. But it's all good. But let me get you some comments. Sky?
Excellent piece. Where was it? I watched troubled waters rain. I watched the troubled waters rain. I thought that was worded a bit different, and I really loved it. I love it the way it is. But the idea of troubled waters rain, you could take that in two different perspectives. You could take it there, it's raining, or that it's filled with the rain that came down. I don't know why, but the fact that it can be taken two alternative ways, I really enjoy. I'll watch the rivers fill with pain. And I love how you bring in standing, you know, stand on the bridge of the yellow stones. Remember me, you're not alone. These are words that to tell somebody you're not alone, I'm here. It's a very simple phrase, but a very powerful one. And when you write it in a piece like this, and you put that setting in, and you speak of dreams, and you speak of that those dreams turning into darker moments, and the buildup there, by the time you get to the end, those are just very powerful words. Really well done. Excellent brevity. I'm glad you got in.
Thank you, Sky.
Me too. Great comment. And David, you really do get the last comment now.
Yeah, how about that? No, I like this, Hatter. This was magical, as all your stuff is. It has a quality to it. I can't put my finger on it. It is a cross between a fairy tale and a legend, almost, to me. You know, I'm glad you took this prompt. I saw it earlier on and contemplated it, and I didn't know what I would do with it. But you did way better than what I would have done with it, I'm sure. But you know, I like the question that you asked, tell me why I'm loving you. man, I could ask that question 1,000 times over. Every one of the women I've ever been in love with, and it made me wonder why I was loving them. But stuck in time beyond the dreams, I hear the voices turn to screams upon the bridge that I cannot cross, memories of what was lost. We think about past loves and what would have happened if we hadn't lost them, you know, and what we lost was really all that or not, you know. I mean, makes me think of all that stuff anyway. I thought you did
you
a really good job with this.
Yeah.
Huh?
You got to believe that those would have turned out bad just to carry on. Nah, would have been good anyway.
Well, I liked your poem a lot. It was really good.
Thanks, Dave.
Awesome comment. Great comment, everyone.
Okay.
And now I appreciate you writing it, and I'm glad you spoke up before I shut down. And just a quick shout-out, sending prayers down to Missouri for the people on the Amtrak train that derailed today when it hit the dump truck. So far, there's 50 injuries, and at least 3 have been killed. Really a sad. Yeah, so prayers going down to them. And again, thank you all very much. And let's go out with this beautiful song written by Hatter, and the singer-music writer is Shout Even Shy. Love and respect to you all. Thanks for hanging out.
I woke up from a memory, still lying here next to you, watching you as you dream. The dreams I thought I knew, your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true, your touch is cold and distant. And I still loving you. I'm walking down a rainstorm, trying to run. Thank you. are you telling me you're mine? It always stays inside my head, showing me how to cry. It's living in the shadow behind your lying eyes. I'm looking down a rainstorm, trying to run away. I'm watching broken promises and the words you cannot say. You're covered in all of the reasons it's showing right through your eyes. It's written in the heart.
I walked down to the corner and got on the other side of the street so the ice cream man would have to go, he'd have to pass me. He turned the other way.
What
the hell?
What if he have a
guy,
tattoo?
Maybe he thinks I'm a cop. I don't know.
Wow.
I know.
What the
hell? There we go.
Really?
They didn't want to wave. Didn't want to wave like I'm some little kid. Although,
right? Wow. Talk about bumming out somebody's day. All right. Well, let's get out of here.
All right.
I'll talk to you tomorrow. All right. Love and respect.
Okay. Bye-bye.